Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. Hello to 2022, and I hope you're having an enjoyable holiday season. I'm proud to work, live, and play on the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I've got some more great Canadian underground house action and an interview in store for you this evening from Calgary's Matt Kane. I will get to that shortly, but first, let's check out this week's track of the week. This is a tribal jam from David Morales and Mr. V. This is Every Day of My Life. Enjoy! Out now on DeRhythm, that's Every Day of My Life from David Morales and Mr. V. A nice tribal vibe going on there. Okay, on to the feature for this evening. I was fortunate to connect with Calgarian Matt Kane a while back about the early days of Calgary's warehouse scene, production, and the current state of underground house in the city. Full track list for the interview, along with an extensive collection of Matt Kane web links, can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Let's dive into part one of the interview. Enjoy! This is DJ Wah, speaking to Calgary-based DJ and producer Matt Kane. He's been producing and DJing for close to 20 years. He's had releases on Nordic Track, Substation Alola, and Moonlight Records, just to name a few. His resume includes longtime GM and resident at Habitat Sound Lounge in Calgary. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Matt Kane. So to begin with, how would you define your sound?
I guess deep house is probably what most people would recognize me as, although I do play some of the trancier stuff and progressive. I do come from a trance background and just straight up house music as well, but I think most people would consider my sound on the deep house tip for sure.
And did you have any musical training when you were younger that helped you out as you got into production later on in life?
No, actually, I had none. I had to learn everything the hard way. I had a knack just for finding B cuts and new music. As a kid, I listened to CJSW here in Calgary, which is our local university radio stations. And that's kind of where I really heard electronica for the first time, you know, drum and bass and stuff like that. And then I just kind of really got into the rave scene in Calgary and bought my first pair of decks and just, you know, started playing around with it and realized that I was okay at it and pretty decent at it. And then you know, that was in 98 or 99. And then probably 2008 or 9, I met Etric Lyons, who's a musician from Toronto. He does downtempo and stuff like that. And he kind of showed me the ropes with Reason and Cubase. I had dabbled with Rebirth in the late 90s and early 2000s a little bit, which is another Propellerhead program back in the day. You know, it was kind of more on the acid tip. And I just kind of just got into it and just made the natural transition that I think a lot of DJs do eventually. But yeah, no musical background whatsoever. I had to learn what that chord was and so on and so forth.
We'll be right back. Okay, I looked online and couldn't find anything definitive, but what is your current connection to Habitat Sound Lounge, and what is the status of that spot in a COVID world?
So it's actually Habitat Living Sound is the original name. We turned it into Habitat Sound Lounge last September to try and pivot into something that was operational still under the guidelines of what the government was giving us. So what that means is we had to be able to serve food. So we made that transition into serving food where we weren't really that spot before, but we still wanted to try and keep the vibe alive and keep our business afloat. Unfortunately, right now, as we speak, that our venue is no longer there. We did kind of fold Habitat as people know it is the best way is how, kind of how we're you know positioning ourselves. Not to say that we're done by any means. When the right time and place kind of comes up again, and when we're all in the right mindset and this whole thing kind of calms down a little bit more, I think we could see something, you know, flourishing coming out of what we originally had in with Habitat, you know. So but as it stands right now, Habitat is kind of is done, it's put on pause, so we don't really know what the future looks like. Although that being said, you know, technically right now we could be open with under the guidelines right now, but I just think for our own sanity with what we went through for the last year and a half, I think it's important that we just kind of reflect a little bit and take some space and some time away, and hopefully something else can come from it.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Habitat in a non-COVID world? Like, is it a collective, a live venue for lots of different genres? What is it exactly?
No, Habitat was, you know, home, a second home for a lot of people. It was curated originally by Carrie Chang, Mikey DeRosa, and John Lee Wei. And they brought me on board about 2 years later to help kind of run the place. And, you know, we made it. By 2014, it was really pop, and Carrie and I were really, and Mikey as well, where we were all really able to book artists, DJs, international acts that we have always wanted to, but we're never had the space to do it, never had the community backing to do it. So it was a really important space for a lot of people in our community to be able to come down. It was kind of like a neighborhood pub in a lot of ways. You know, it was a small space. We were only 85 people per fire code. Although, you know, you run a club a little hotter once in a while on your big shows like Mark Farina or whatever. But, and then, you know, Studio Social kind of came out of that as well, which was, you know, a big platform for a lot of our producers, and which gave them, you know, a safe space to be able to play their music, because there was a lot of production happening, you know, in 2013, 14, a lot of young producers were coming out of the city and have made something of themselves even to this day. But they got their start and their first listen in that room. You got to remember, sometimes a lot of these producers in our community, they're not DJs, so they don't get to play their music out. They don't get to see what that reaction looks like in a nightclub, like hear their music on a nightclub sound system. So that platform was really cool. So that part was a collective for sure. That was just a bunch of us in the community that we sat down every week, or every month rather, and put together, you know, programming for, you know, the next event.
Let's jump over to the production side of things. When you are using Reason, do you use a lot of the internal VSTs, or do you have external VSTs and possibly hardware that you like to work with as well?
No, I definitely have a few VSTs. The Moog for sure, Arturia, the Mini Moog for sure. I use a lot of different delays. Some of them, the TAL delay, TAL double three, I believe it is. The audio damage delay is a big one that both John Delirious and I use. It's kind of like a signature sound for both of us for, you know, going back, you know, a decade ago. That was something that we would always use for sure. And then, you know, I have my base station and Mini Nova that I use quite often as well, which is like on the hardware side. But yeah, my go-to would definitely be the Moog for sure. I wish I had the hardware version of that, because then I wouldn't use the VST version.
And today it all changes.
When you are making a track, do you usually have an idea in your head before you begin, or do you just like to sit down and be creative and see where that goes?
More leaning towards the sit down and just kind of get creative. You know, it's usually based around, you know, just writing some drums and then kind of jamming on that. Although, you know, being in, you know, the nightclub, you know, every night, not as late, but, you know, for the last decade or so, you know, running Habitat, you know, there's a lot of inspiration coming from various nights, you know, whether it was a dubstep night or a drum and bass night. So you hear sounds or samples or something like that, and you're like, oh, I actually have that sample. So, you know, then it could be more sample driven. But the idea would stem from that inspiration, from something I heard. But for the most part, like now I would say 95% of the time, it was just me sitting down and starting with the drums and a bass line, and then kind of going on from there and moving on, and then, you know, letting it sit for a little while, and then, you know, you come back and, you know, things always change.
Touched on this a little bit earlier on, but when you started making music, what aspect of production did you find particularly challenging?
You know, I remember when I first started, and the very first track that I wrote was in, that I had finished, completed, you know, quote unquote, was in, when I did it in Reason, and then I went over to John's studio, and I heard it, and I'm like, this sounds like garbage. You know, hearing it on his speakers, I bought piece by piece, so I was originally, you know, producing music on my Techniques DJ, you know, like your 1970s DJ speakers. Like I had like this jerry rig system when I first started out, you know, running it off a laptop and like, you know, a milk crate kind of thing. So, you know, it was piece by piece. So, you know, having better equipment definitely helped me further along, and then just kept writing and writing and writing, you know. And you know, I'd write when I was single, back in the day, I'd have more time, so I would, you know, be writing, you know, a dozen tracks a week kind of thing, you know, or not finishing, but, you know, starting kind of thing. So you know the whole practice makes perfect thing kind of comes into play a little bit there, and then learning a little bit more on the music theory and chords and watching you know, Future Music Magazine, you know, tutorials and all that kind of stuff. You know, I did a lot of homework with it and put a lot of time and effort into it to kind of get to the spot where I am now, you know, because I'm not an engineer and I was never classically trained. So it was a little more of a raw version of house music at the time.
And looking at the DJing side of things, when you are doing a live set, do you use CDJs, Traktor, possibly vinyl? What's your approach?
Yeah, vinyl OG days for sure. Now it's just, you know, and then we, you know, transitioned into, you know, the thousands of CD booklets that, you know, I still have. vinyl is kind of irrelevant anymore. And then now it's just, you know, a USB stick and, you know, two CDJ 2000s and 900 Nexus.
Let me know.
And then how do you approach programming a set? Do you usually have a couple tracks in mind to begin with, or is it just free flow right from the start?
It depends for me. I know everyone's different for sure. For me, if I'm playing an opening set for, an international DJ, like especially direct open or something like that, it would be a little bit more planned for sure. Like, a little bit more research would kind of go into it. But for my own nights when we're essentially headlining our own nights or playing club gigs, yeah, I have new tracks that I definitely want to play. But I never really plan anything because it's really about reading the room and, you kind of tend to go back to the quote unquote classics or stuff that's, gonna work for a room or a night. And sometimes when it's just really busy and you've got the crowd hooked, you can really kind of dive in and start playing some more of the B-side stuff and the stuff that you maybe have picked up, a couple of months before, but never really had the opportunity to play it because it wasn't that night, so you can kind of go back and dig through that. So it kind of always changes. The programming is never really set for one thing. I definitely don't, set a playlist and, go from track 1 to 14 or whatever. You're not playing within, right, an hour or an hour and a half. It's never like that. I'm kind of always bouncing around. And then the second part of that too is usually, when I'm playing by myself, it's a little bit different. But then when, most of the nights that, we're doing running at Keep It Deep or New Movement with, Isis or, John, we're playing back to back for a good portion of those nights. So when you're playing with another DJ, you kind of lead a little bit, and then they're going to take the lead a little bit too. So then you have to follow. So you just kind of never know. And those are some of the most inspirational nights, when you got two DJs that are playing music that is not pre-planned, you just kind of go, it's a good vibe, and then you just kind of feed off each other, and the vibe is just kind of there for the whole night. It's pretty cool. So yeah, that you can't sit down unless you're going to sit down a week before, and you're going to pick out music and you're going to jam for 15 hours together, which I know a lot of young DJs do at the beginning of their stages, because they want to kind of dial it in and lock it in. But you can kind of tell a little bit, sometimes when it's a little pre-programmed. So I like not to, for sure.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to the Matt Cain Interview and Track Retrospective here on Techno Progressivo. The station is 101.9 CITR. I'm DJ Wah, and that was the first half of the interview. Full track list and a collection of Matt Cain web links can be found at the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. We finished off there with a track called Perfect Storm. The next part here kicks off with Crystal Love B's track Love Me, with, of course, Matt Cain on the remix. Here is part two of the interview. And then over your career, are there any clubs or events that you've absolutely loved to play at and are hopeful to play at again at some point in the future?
Where I'd love to play would be, my wife and I went to Ibiza for a honeymoon. We went to Highs Ibiza. I would love to play that. Not the main room, but the side room. I think they call it the club room in Ibiza, or Ushuaia would be even really cool. And it's kind of where in Ibiza would be a dream spot to play. ADE would be cool as well, anywhere in Amsterdam, which would be really cool. Kind of like, yeah, the Ministry of Sound would be a check mark for sure. I don't know if that ever happened. That would be really cool. That was probably the first big super club I ever went to in 2005. Was Ministry of Sound in London. So that'd be pretty cool for me. Other DJs, I mean, I'm not really a big festival guy. Personally, I'm not huge into like the big outdoor camping festival, Shambhala. That's just not really my vibe. I'm more into like the urban festival stuff. So ADE would be probably up there for sure.
Okay, you may not want to answer this one, but have you ever had a gig go horribly wrong, and do you feel like telling us the details?
I don't think I've actually ever had like a gig go... Actually, no, that's not true. New Year's Eve 2002, I was offered a gig and went and played a community hall in Inglewood. I was playing Hard House at the time, though on vinyl, and it was horribly set up. I went up, I think I got 3 tracks in, and the cops raided the place, so I didn't get to play. So, and I was pretty choked about that, because that for me was like a really big thing. So it was like one of my first like actually like headlining things in the city for, you know, it was low budget, you know, it wasn't like a, you know, one of the big raves at Fire Park or Rollerland that we had back in the day or something like that. But for me, it was kind of a big deal, you know, spend a lot of time and practice, you know, 3 years of work or 2 years of work, and then finally had the opportunity. So I think that would be up there. I still remember that. And cops raided the place, and we had to bounce there pretty quick. So.
Looking back at your body of work, can you tell me one or two tracks you're most proud of producing and what made them so special?
I had a feeling you'd probably ask that question, so I kind of thought about it preemptively. There's three. One would definitely be Crime Boss, to be the first one in 2014 that Substation signed here in Calgary, it's a local label. That was kind of became like a, within our community here, a little bit of a cult classic. Everybody kind of knew me as the Crime Boss or So Have It, and it kind of took off. And even to this day, you know, I still get, you know, poked and messaged to, you know, people are still playing that track. So it's kind of cool that it's still out there, you know, 6 years later. The next one would probably be the Elevate EP, the Elevate track that I did on Alola. I think it was 2016 or something like that. We actually did the release party at the club with Omid, who owns Alola. So that was a pretty special night. It was just him and I playing the whole night, and that, you know, the artwork and the track was featured. It was pretty cool. It was a busy night. And the last one would be Like a Fool with Norvitrux, which was probably my top selling record. I was a top, I think it was number four on Track Source. It got up to number four, something like that. So I think that was the highest that I've gotten, like, you know, all time sales for one record. So that was, it was being, I had a feature in Mix Mag on that one as well. So nice. That one, which was really cool. So I remember when Luke called me and he's like, hey, you know, you're going to be in, you know, they picked it up for Mix Mag. So make sure you grab a copy of that when it comes out our way. So it was, and Kerry Chandler was on the front page. So that was also really, really cool. So another, you know, a DJ that I was well respected, that I look up to, and producer as well. So a legend, right? So it was really cool.
Okay, the answer for this one may be Kerry Chandler as well, but can you tell me one or two producers whom you really admire and why?
Jimster's always kind of been my number one. I've had Jamie two or three times at the club. Just a great gentleman, and he's just, anything that guy touches is just freaking gold. You know, he's a magician. He's a DJ's DJ. You know, anyone kind of plays deep house or house music, I think, has a Jimster record in their bag somewhere. You know, whether, you know, it's vinyl or on, you know, their USB. So Jimster's kind of always been, you know, a big one for me. Fred Everything too. You know, another, you know, a Canadian local. I call it local, I guess, for local for us, right, in Canada. But a legend, you know, in his own right. Been around a long time and just writes really good records. So I think those two for sure.
Let's take a look into the crystal ball here. What do you envision for the future of yourself in both production and in DJing?
Kind of just going with the flow right now. It's been kind of nice not having more bookings have been coming my way. Mostly because I'm not working every weekend, you know. So it's been kind of nice to, you know, see, you know, a couple spots kind of pop up in Calgary, and they want to book me and John or whoever, because they know that, you know, some of those nights that we had built, you know, through Bamboo and Habitat, they still got some weight behind them. So it's kind of been interesting to do that. Mikey's also been doing some stuff too. So the DJ kind of stuff has been just been fun, you know, just kind of getting bookings all around the city and all these new little pop-up places, especially over the summer. A lot of the patios kind of really, you know, were popping off. New spaces that you'd never think that would do something that, you know, are kind of, you know, putting their foot forward into the house music scene, and been really successful nights and been great vibes. Production wise, it's been a little slow for me, I'm not gonna lie. I haven't been in the studio a ton over the last year. I think COVID kind of put a bit of a, you know, a stake in it for me. Mm-hmm. Kind of lost a little bit of inspiration. You know, I do have, Luke does have a few, he has an EP of mine. And we don't know if it's going to be 100% yet, but, you know, he's got a bunch of music of mine that's, you know, fresher, like that's new, that's been written over the last 6 months or so. So he's got a couple tracks. And then, but I mean, still, I'll never stop writing music for sure. I'll always be doing something in the studio or jamming or collaborating with somebody or doing a remix or whatever. You know, whatever I get asked to do, I'm excited to say yes.
Okay, this has been Matt Cain. A selection of Matt Cain tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of Matt Cain web links can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
I call it transcendence.
Trance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
transcendence.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Matt Cain for interviewing and showing us yet again the high quality of underground house across Canada. I would encourage you to head over to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page to check out a full track list for the interview, along with a large collection of Matt Cain related web links. So head yourself on over there. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, you can do so at Apple Podcasts and on the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.com. Hear this episode again, as well as a large collection of interviews and great guest mixes from the past. Up next is going to be Transcendence with Smiley Mike, a DJ who will take you on a 2-hour journey through the world of trance. Before we go, though, let's set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, we'll jump back 14 years in time to 2008 for someone who combines great vocal ability in addition to top-level production skills. Chalanis R. Jones serves up a classic here with Helen Cornell. This is the Jerome Sydenham remix. Enjoy, and I'll see you back here in 2 weeks.